Shalom. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, that was so beautiful. That's Yuval Ron, featuring Omar Farouk Tabilik and Yair Datal, Inshallah. And it's from a CD called One. So I want to share an article that my friend sent to me from the Jewish Journal in 10-20-23. It's by Raphael Madoff from the Jewish Journal of Los Angeles. The title is, Who Gave Hamas the Cement for Tunnels? very interesting. Hamas has built a labyrinth of tunnels under Gaza as wide as a city, CNN reported on October 14th. The tunnels were used to facilitate the Hamas pogrom, and the 150-plus Israelis whom Hamas kidnapped probably are being held there. So how did Hamas acquire the cement despite Israel's blockade of such materials? Apparently, Hamas had some help from former U.S. Mideast envoy Dennis Ross, according to Ross himself. Ross has been appearing as an expert commentator on major media outlets in recent days, including on NBC TV's Meet the Press. On October 8th, CNN's Al Mampour & Company, on October 13th, and Fox News on October 14th, among others. Yet Ross did not think it was relevant to mention in any of those interviews that he himself pressured Israel to let Hamas obtain the cement, a role he admitted in a Washington Post op-ed on August 8, 2014. In the op-ed, Ross described how, as a U.S. envoy, he urged Israel to allow Hamas to import cement, even though he knew at the time that Hamas had been using cement for military purposes. At times, he wrote in the Post, "I argued with Israeli leaders and security officials, telling them they needed to allow more construction materials, including cement, into Gaza so that housing, schools, and basic infrastructure could be built. They countered that Hamas would misuse it." And they were right. In the 1930s, Americans were divided about permitting U.S. exports to another terrorist regime, Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany. President Franklin D. Roosevelt maintained trade with the Nazis, arguing that the persecution of the Jews in Germany was none of America's business. But Jewish organizations and many other Americans participated in a boycott of German goods. One noted supporter of the boycott was the mayor of New York City, Fiorello LaGuardia. In 1935, the city's bridge authority purchased 500 tons of sheet steel from Nazi Germany in order to build the Triborough Bridge. LaGuardia learned of the deal while bedridden at Mount Sinai Hospital after his painful attack of sciatica, but he did not let his illness deter him from intervening. In a telegram to Bridge Authority Chairman Nathan Burkhan, the mayor announced that he did not want that damned steel in his city. "The only commodity we can import from Hitler now is hatred," LaGuardia declared, "and we don't want any in our country." Technically, the Bridge Authority was an independent agency that did not require the mayor's approval for its construction purchases. But the mayor found grounds to block the deal. He bore responsibility for New Yorkers' safety, and he could not vouch for the reliability of Hitler's steel, he wrote to Burkhan. "I cannot be certain of its safety unless I first have every bit and piece of German-made material tested before use," he added in German. "Verstehen Sie? Do you understand?" LaGuardia took his share of heat for his one-man campaign against Hitler Germany. 6,000 German-Americans held a rally in New York City and pledged to vote him out of office. Nazi propaganda chief Josef Goebbels threatened to bomb New York City. Secretary of State Cordell Hull complained that LaGuardia's actions were harming German-American relations. The mayor was not fazed. "I run the subways and Hull runs the State Department, except when I abrogate a treaty or something," he declared in classic LaGuardia style. One dissenter within the Roosevelt administration regarding Nazi Germany was the Secretary of the Interior, Harold Ickes. In late 1937, President Roosevelt approved the sale of helium to power Germany's Zeppelin airships, telling Congress it was sound national policy for the United States to be a good neighbor to Germany. After initially supporting the sale, Secretary Ickes reversed himself in the wake of Hitler's annexation of Austria in March 1938. That aggression proved it would be dangerous to provide the Nazis with a gas that was of military importance, Ickes declared. News of the dispute leaked to the press. A number of members of Congress then publicly opposed the sale, and mail to the White House ran heavily against it as well. At a White House conference between Roosevelt, Ickes, and the administration's legal experts in May, the Solicitor General informed the president that the sale could not go forward without the Interior Secretary's approval. But FDR refused to give up. At a cabinet session 2 days later, the president again pressed Ickles to support the sale. Roosevelt was backed by all but two of the cabinet members, Labor Secretary Francis Perkins and Treasury Secretary Henry Morgenthau. He said nothing. FDR suggested he could relieve Ickles of responsibility by giving him a letter stating it was Roosevelt's judgment, quote-unquote, as commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy, that this helium was not of military importance. Ickles still refused to budge. It's a pity that statesmen of the caliber of LaGuardia or Ickles weren't around when Dennis Ross was urging Israel to let Hamas import cement. One suspects they would have offered very different counsel. Pretty interesting. This is Who Gave Hamas the Cement for Tunnels? An article by Raphael Madoff from the Jewish Journal of Los Angeles. Very interesting. Thanks to my friend for sending me that letter. All right, so WMFO Medford here live from Tufts University. This is The Voice Mobile, and I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. Okay, that's interesting. Maybe I didn't pick a tune yet. I guess I didn't. Oh, I wanted three. Oh, I see where it says that. It shortened the the title, so I wasn't sure it was the right one. All right, here we go. Thank you.
before you go, make this moment sweet again. We won't say goodnight until the last minute. Out my head, and my heart will be in it for we know. This may only be a dream. We come and go like the ripples on a stream. So love me tomorrow may never come, for all we know. Thank you. ba ba da 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 Ben now, still I don't know. But the Dabba Bobo did. Salada, we may never meet again. We come and go. Make this moment sweet again. We won't say goodnight until the last minute. I hold out my hand and my heart will be in there. Oh. We come and go like a ripple in a stream. So love me tonight. Tomorrow will be for sure. Tomorrow.
That was from a live performance of Stanley Sagov and the Remembering the Future Band, live at the Regatta Bar 2009. And on that session, Stanley Sagov on keyboards, Mike Pipeman on bass, Stan Strickland on reeds and vocals, John Lockwood on bass, and Rakalam Bob Moses on drums. Now, there's a special reason why I'm playing this, because there's going to be a special performance at the Regatta Bar coming up on Saturday, December, let's see if I put my glasses on, I think the date is 16th. Now, the 7:30 show is already sold out, but there's a second show now at 9:30, and Stan will be there, Stan Strickland, Stanley Sagov, of course. Also, they'll be joined by Juanetta Jackson, kind of a comeback of sorts for her. John Locke will be there, Mike Papian, and Yaron Israel will be playing the drums. So, says these shows are selling out. Sadly, Dr. Sagov has been diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma in both lungs. It'll probably be a love fest with lots of surprise guests coming to be at this show, and perhaps also sitting in. Stanley is doing interviews talking about his diagnosis and using his diagnosis as a case study for his students at Harvard Medical. So I'm hopefully going to be going to the second show, and hope some of you will decide to come out for that. He's been performing for years and years and years, and it's really sad about this diagnosis. Okay, so I wanted to mention a couple of other things. I missed the Thanksgiving show. I hope you had a nice time with family, friends, relative, what have you. I did, and didn't eat too much, which is a good thing. I did get messed up, though, coming back. I was coming up from the south, and I got on 93, but I missed the cutoff for 95, so I ended up in the tunnel, and the tunnel was congested, so they routed me, the GPS routed me into Boston, and then I drayed around Boston for about 20 minutes. It was ridiculous. All these places, oh my gosh, I finally got on the Pike and got home. It was not my favorite thing. But anyway, I got home. I was worried about leaving my kitty alone, but he was fine. And so that was really nice. The other thing is that I recently got a gift of the piano from my childhood. It had been in several other locations with my family, and they got a different, they got a new piano. Actually, also an older one from my nephew's wife's mom who passed away. So they got that piano, and then I got the piano that I would have wanted years ago, but I didn't have room for. And at first I thought, oh, I don't really have room for it. And I thought, well, why do I need to have the couch there? Let's put the piano there. So now I have to find a good tuner, and it's great. It's great. I've been really happy to get my hands back on a keyboard. The other thing is that I made a donation. This is something I used to do in the past, but I hadn't done for a couple of years, maybe about 7 years. So I cut off about over 12 inches of hair, a lot of hair, and donated to Kids Without Hair. It's an organization that provides wigs for young children, and they're willing to take hair that has gray in it, so that's great. And you know, after I cut it, then it took a couple of inches to sort of sort it all out. It feels very different. That's a lot of hair to let go, but you know, for a good cause, and so I did that. Okay, so that's what I wanted to let you know. And we're gonna listen now to something from a CD called Homegrown. I think that's what I want. Yep. Thank you.
tied by love to you, but I was tied too strong. Still I'm afraid of knowing what leaving means. I know I lived for you in all I tried to do. You were the keeper of my dreams. Open wide these prison doors. Take these chains from round my heart. Make believe that I'm no more. Pay no mind when I depart. Need to find another place where love is not just tossed away. If you really care for me, you'll open wide these prison doors and set me free. You were always caring, always warm and kind, but that was long ago when love was blind. And I don't want to hurt you the way that I have been hurt. But if I stay, I lose my mind. Open wide these prison doors. Take these chains from round my heart. Make believe that I'm no more. Pay no mind when I. Just tossed away. And if you really care for me, open wide these prison doors and set me free. I love you even though I'm leaving. And maybe I always will. But open wide these prison doors. Take these chains from around my heart. Make believe that I'm no more. Pay no mind when I depart. Just tossed away. And if you really care for me, you'll open wide these prison doors and set me free. If you really care for me, you'll open wide these prison doors and set me free.
Neil Diamond. I just saw a little bit of a concert that was on WGBH. It was from, I don't know, it was in Australia. It was great. He was a lot younger, but Set Me Free. That's, you know, for the hostages. Yes. So when you talk with your child, if you have a child to talk to, you build vocabulary. And learning starts long before school. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org, a public service announcement brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and WMFO. Right. All right. So We still have a few minutes left here. Let's see. What did I play? I played Andrew Danforth from his homegrown CD, Orange Hue in the Uplands, Stanley Sagov, and the Remembering the Future Jazz Band. For that concert's going to be at the Regatta Bar on December 19th. All right, Danny Green Trio, October Ballad, Altered Narratives. Okay, I think that's everything. And we'll continue on here with, let's see, what do we got here?
the truth when it's far too late, when they pass away.
All right, we're just about out of here. We're going to close out with something from David Broza, Strohim Shoelaces. And we listened to The Beatles, Within You, Without You. George Harrison wrote that. There's a fabulous the concert for George on WGBH. I've watched it at least 3 times recently. I loved it, and that's why I played Eric Clapton, because he was the music director, and he was great. And what else? I saw also Barbara Streisand on GBH this month. So, okay. So, take care, everybody. Be safe out there. And hug your kids if you have them, or your pets. Okay. See you. Don't be late.
הסתבכו לסרוכים בשיטות בדרכים כל כלב עזוב היה לי כאח ואם היה עליי לעבור זאת שוב הייתי עובר זאת שוב איתך בגיל 30 החיים קשים ונפשי עוד כמה אל הרגע הרך ואם היה עליי לעשות זאת שוב הייתי עושה זאת שוב